You're now listening to Convos with Marilyn.
Yo, what up? This is Convos with Marilyn with Matt today.
Yeah.
We're gonna just chat it up, chop it up, see what's going on.
Yeah, so Matthew is here and we're just going to, like, this episode is basically to show you guys, like, a contrast in, like, people. And, like, this is a season finale, so thank you guys for staying till the end of season 2. You know, like, it's not easy, but we finished, like, 12 episodes, so. And, like, so I'm someone who's, like, very, like, to-do list centered, and Matthew is very, let's just do this, so.
Yeah, I'm more of a kind of, let's wait till the last day kind of thing, and hopefully everything works out kind of guy.
Yeah, so we're, like, and Matthew is a very, very extraordinary, interesting person, so we have, like, a lot of stories, like, piled up for you guys. Yeah, so I feel like you guys will listen to this with friends, and, yeah. So our first, like, you know, our first question is, you know, where do you stay right now? Like, can you tell us about, like...
Where do I stay at?
Mm-hmm.
I stay at, basically I'm on Chinatown in, mm-hmm. like, Bronson, so, like, Bronson, Somerset kind of area.
Yeah.
It's more, like, central Ottawa, so there's a lot of stuff going on over there. There's a big problem going on nowadays with, like, the opioid crisis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely kind of reflects in, like, my neighborhood that I'm in.
There's an opioid crisis?
Oh, in Ottawa, there's a huge opioid crisis right now. There's a lot of... Because, I mean, it stems from pharmaceutical companies kind of being greedy and over-prescribing things like codeine, for example. Like, I even remember myself when I was fucking getting my wisdom teeth removed. They gave me a bunch of codeine pills. But my mom took him away from me because she saw Kodak Black was taking all the codeine pills. And she didn't like the way he was slurring his words, so she wanted me to have more of, like, I guess, she wanted me to be more, had that political speech in me and all that. But no, there's a big problem going on right now with, like, opioid addiction in Canada. So over there, we kind of, like, in Ottawa especially, you see it a lot. And there's just, I don't know, there's, like, a lot of these kind of, like, people, struggling with addiction around me, and it kind of creates a lot of problems. Like, it's just kind of hard to, like, sometimes, like, when I bring family over, it's like a little, like, they get kind of scared and stuff like that because
yeah.
They see, like, people are going crazy and stuff. Like, I've had, like, a couple weeks ago, I had this one homeless guy. He was fucking in front of my house, and, like, I don't even know what's going on. I was in my room just, like, kind of vibing, doing my thing, and I heard, like, banging, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I heard, like, just, like, some banging, like, you know, type shit, like, just, like,
yeah.
banging, and I was like, what's going on? And someone knocking on my door.
Yeah.
So I look out my window, and I see there was a guy, like, just standing there outside of my house, hitting himself in the head, like, repeatedly.
Oh my,
like, boom,
God.
Boom, 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 for, like, literally, like, half an hour. So I'm there tripping, like, I didn't even know, like, if this is, he's, like, right in front of my house, too.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, kind of worried, like, is he gonna try to, like, come into my house? So I'm, like, sitting there in the front of the door with, like, a broken leg, because, like, one of our tables is broken, so I have, like, one of the legs of the table there. I'm, like, sitting at the door, like, waiting for the man to, like, try to come in here type shit.
Yeah.
But, like, he never came in the house, but he did end up, like, he went into our mail.
Yeah.
Like, he took all of our mail, ripped up all of our mail, and just threw it. Like, he was throwing all of our mail, ripping it up, like, in front of our house. That type of stuff. Like, it's just, I don't know, there's always, like, some sort of chaotic situations going on, like, where we're at. Like, yesterday, I came from home from school, and I'm expecting to just, like, whatever, go home, relax. And I see in front of my house, there's four cop cars. There's, like, four cop cars, sirens on. I don't even know what's going on. I thought I'd go home and fucking see my roommate fucking with a gun to his head, like, hostage situation
yeah.
or some shit. But no, it wasn't that bad. It was, I don't know, it must have been, like, some overdose or something. I don't know.
And it's, like, it's so crazy how you can say that casually now because, like, you've been desensitized so much.
Yeah, no, definitely. But it's just, like, it's a big problem kind of affecting all of America, really. Like,
yeah.
we see it in fucking Baltimore, we see it in San Francisco,
yeah.
everything. Like, overprescription has created a massive
yeah.
opioid crisis in at the North, like, probably not even just North America, probably, like, worldwide.
Yeah.
It's people, because it's very easy to get addicted.
Yeah.
And people from the hospitals will kind of just give you this to deal with your pain. Like, if you have, like, let's say a back injury, right? And you hurt yourself, and they say, okay, well, you have to, if it's painful, okay, here, we're gonna give you oxycodone, right?
Yeah.
So you take this oxycodone for 4 weeks while you're undergoing all this physiotherapy and all this stuff. But then they tell you, okay, you're good, you're done, you don't need painkillers anymore.
Yeah.
But by the time they tell you that it's done, you're still, you didn't even know that these prescriptions they've been giving you are highly addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a problem, like, okay, I left the hospital, but I'm still addicted to oxycodone.
Yeah.
And what am I gonna do? I'm not gonna just go through these withdrawals. They're probably gonna go, some people are gonna go to a street source and they're gonna start abusing these drugs away from the pharmacy, right?
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know, it's a very in-depth issue, and it's really plaguing your country in a way that we've never really seen before, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I know, it's crazy.
On a lighter note, like, I remember, because I think being around Matthew, guys, is like, you hear like the wildest stories. I think we were in the Jigala and he was talking about how I think you bought food for homeless people.
Which one?
Like the one when you
this. I mean, that was just like, I mean, it's just like some other Ottawa stuff. Like, I was coming back from the club and I was like talking to, I was wearing like a little ski mask because it was cold outside.
Yeah.
I had this like white ski mask on. So like people kind of assumed like, it was probably like 4 a.m. So they just kind of assumed like I was another person living on the streets.
Yeah.
And they kind of like confided in me. They kind of like let me join their pack in a way. While I was waiting for the bus, so I got to like have like a little inside scoop on like how these people that are living on these under these extreme conditions kind of live. Like, I was one of them for 5 minutes, like, as you could say.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it kind of opened my eyes up to just like the whole problem, because I had like a couple burgers in my pocket. I went to A&W. I was fucking hammered. I grabbed like a body burger, teen burger, or some shit, and I had like another burger in my pocket. I was ready to just start mucking. And I gave it, I was like, I asked them, are you guys hungry? And they're like, yeah, let me get some food. So I gave them a burger, right? I'm like, okay, they're probably hungry, probably haven't eaten in a long time. I'm gonna get them my burger. I had fucking enough food today already, right? I gave them the burger, but then, like, we're waiting there, they take one bite out of it. And by the time the bus gets there, they just threw it into the street. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I just gave you my food. I'm trying to be a nice guy. And, like, right in front of my face, you're gonna just throw it into the street. Like, they literally just, like, took the burger and just flung it into the street because the bus came there.
Yeah.
Like, in front of me. Like, what's... Like,
because that's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, they're not looking. They're not... Like, it's like... I don't even want to talk, like, in this way. But, like, in reality, they're not worried about food. Like, they're just worried about getting their next fix.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the problem, too. Like, one time me and my buddy were coming back from a party, and we're sitting in like McDonald's. It was probably like around like 2-3 a.m. too. It was like a late night. We're walking back home because we didn't have money for an Uber. You know how like student life is.
Yeah.
We're all broke out here, right? We're all just trying to get by.
Yeah.
And there was one lady that came in, and she was probably like addicted to something as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she ordered some food, and she like started, she pulled out the crack pipe, right? She pulled out this pipe and she put like this, like probably, I think it was crack, a little bit like this white like rock form chemical, and she started smoking it. So me and my boy were like, yo, what the fuck? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, go to the washroom and do that shit. Like, don't do that shit in your house. I'm not trying to get her breathing this crack on me.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm hooked on that shit and I'm fucking on the streets. Like, I don't need that in my life right now. I got assignments to do, you know? So she fucking starts lighting up this pipe. We tell her to go to the washroom. She goes to the washroom. But then she tells us, like, yo, can you wash my food? Can you wash my food for me while I go and fucking smoke this crack in the washroom? So we're like, yeah, sure. We'll watch it. So we were eating there. We sat there eating our fucking Big Macs or whatever, chilling. And we're watching her food. She comes out. She grabs her food. And we go outside with her. So, like, basically, like, she ordered this food. She waited for this food. But then she goes to the washroom. She smokes her crack. And, like, she leaves the washroom. And we go outside because we're done eating. And she also goes outside before us. So we saw her walking out, right?
Yeah.
She's walking out with this food she just bought.
Yeah.
And she just throws it into the snow. That's it. She just threw it into the snow. Cause like she smoked the crack, and like the urge for hunger went away. It was done. So she just went and she kept starving, I guess. And it's interesting because that those stuff, like the drugs they're addicted to are so addictive. I've read studies, like, they say that, like, they've done tests on like mice. And they said that mice are more likely to pick cocaine over sex, food, water, anything. Like, there could be a mouse that's, like, starving, thirsty, But he sees that crack, he'll take that crack over the water first, no matter what. Like, it hardwires their brains, right? And it messes them up.
The thing is, like, with, like, life in general, is that no one starts as a patient. Like, no one starts addicted, you know? And it's crazy how you think, like, your first time can be, like, the first of many, which is scary, you know? And it's, like, because the topic of, like, psychedelics or, like, party drugs, you know, it's just, like, you don't know what's going to be your gateway.
Not for sure.
Yeah.
And you never really know what you're taking as well, right? Like, you could think you're just smoking a joint. Like, I mean, in Canada, it's good because everything's kind of legalized, so there's more
which
control,
which is bad.
Right? I don't know if it's bad.
Because if everything is, like, legalized, then that's the reason why you see so many crackheads and it's so scary to go out.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, if it's not legalized, they're still going to figure out a way to get it.
Yeah,
if
you're controlled.
Yeah, but more controlled. If you're a crackhead, you're going to find a way to get your crack.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's freaking across the freaking border in Guantanamo Bay, you're going to figure out a way.
Yeah, but the system makes the people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time where, like, in a system where, like, people can't do that in public, because you have fucking stores. Like, you know, you have places that can just, like, across the street, like, you can become something that you didn't plan on just because it's there.
I mean, not really. I mean, I don't know. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more? Like,
yeah. Like, for instance now, like, you're not someone who, like, planned on ever, like, smoking. You're just like, okay, like, this thing is here. Like, let me just go, like, buy
cannabis. Like, marijuana?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then before you know, you're just like, oh, like, I like how I feel eating an edible. And before you know it, like, that's literally like, oh, what other things can I try?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by gateway. And that's what I mean by, like, if in a place, for example, like in Nigeria, in as much as so many things aren't, like, legalized, like, you can't do some things in public. So, like, you whatever you want to go and do is within your own space.
But do you think just because you can't smoke marijuana in public in Nigeria, people aren't smoking
marijuana? No, I know that they are. But then you don't have people that are literally, like, okay, let me, like, give you this story, right? My friend was literally coming back from work, and there was a, like, crackhead behind her, like, following her for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So in a society like this, right, like, in Nigeria, that can't really happen to you. Like, because, I mean, a place that's not even meant to, like, this is public. Like, okay, something like that can happen in Nigeria if you decide to go, like, deep into, like, the hood or like, I don't know how to explain to you, if you go into, like, ghetto areas, you know. But this is fucking Rido.
You know what
I'm saying? Like, this
I know what you mean.
Like, why are we, like, having these things in places that are meant to be, like, government, like, reserved areas? Do you understand?
I mean, I feel like that's just another, just, like, criticism of the government that's in position now. Like, people, I mean, like, we're in a liberal government now, right? Mm-hmm. And what liberalism is, it's kind of the theory that individual rights outweigh the rights of the collective group, right?
Yeah.
That's what liberalism focuses on. So I guess we have a problem now where there's so much of this too.
Yeah.
But, like, you have to also remember the fact that there is so much of this now. What are you going to do to this crackhead? You're going to send him to jail? You're going to send him to jail, and then what? We're paying for this.
Yeah.
Our tax dollars pay for this.
Yeah.
So we're paying our tax dollars to basically put this guy in a cage and feed him and all this. Like, how does that, like, I like, it's such a big issue. It's hard to, like, pinpoint a certain way to fix this.
Yeah.
Because it's already just, it's been so it's just been so exponentially grown, this problem we have now.
Yeah.
Where it's just hard to remedy this problem because it plagues all big cities.
Yeah.
Like, me coming from Toronto, though, one thing I noticed is, like, in Toronto, you'll walk around and there's obviously people which are dependent on these drugs.
Yeah.
But you'll only see them in, like, certain areas. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll see them, and there's, like, some bad areas. Like, you'll go Queen Street West, or you'll go, like, these places, and you'll see these people. But in Ottawa, they're scattered everywhere.
Yeah.
They're just all over the place. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in the nicest part of Ottawa.
Yeah.
There was a controversy because they built these incredible neighborhoods. I forget where it was. Somewhere, like, in the Ottawa, like, I don't even know, but, like, mansions.
Yeah.
Like, incredible, like, huge mansions for, like, the most successful people in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened?
What?
People that were these crackheads were basically camping out on the driveways of these people. They were just sleeping on the road, on, like, the grass.
Yeah.
Of these houses. So, like, now the property value also went down, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's just so crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, especially in like bigger cities like Ottawa, people will come here and they'll kind of see, they'll send people, like families will send their family members from rural areas who have problems of drug dependency to get treatment in a bigger city like Ottawa. But once this treatment's done, oftentimes they'll relapse, but they'll still stay in these bigger cities, right? So we still kind of just, now that there's just the fact that there's just so many of these kind of people running around. And it kind of, it affects everybody, right? It impacts everybody.
Yeah. When you think about, like, problems with, like, society, like, because when I think about, like, how, like, Nigeria can improve as well, like, I'm just like, there's really nothing you can do within the span of 10 years that can, like, heal some deeply seated, like, troubles, you know? Like, there's some things that are, like, even skin deep, you know?
Yeah.
Some, like, problems with, like, government and, like, entire, like, because the thing is, when you're dealing with people and, like, structures, you can't just, like, you know, come into the, like, into power and, like, debunk that shit. You can't do that within, like, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Yeah. I don't even know really what goes on in Nigeria too much, so I can't speak on that, but
it's, like, akin to us here, but, like, worse because we are dealing with economic turmoil even more than the homelessness problem. Like, homelessness in Nigeria has become so normalized that we're just like, let's even deal with the lesser evil, because like, you know, in Nigeria, like I don't know, because this is just the reality of this situation. Like, yeah, there are people who are like beggars on the streets, like there are people who they're basically just beggars, like in most parts of Nigeria. Like they come to your window, people just like drive by, now they're normalized.
Yeah.
Those people will not, like, do you know the difference between, like, I mean, I guess it's because like these things have been like in place for a while, but those people that like camp out on the streets and like that are akin to like these people who are homeless here, and like, you know, there's no beggar that will follow you into a mall. You understand? Like, the thing is, everybody in Nigeria kind of knows their place. It's just kind of like, because I always used to crack this joke, right? You know, in like Canada or like America or like all of these places, if you like stomp your foot, like a pigeon, like in Canada won't like fly away.
Yeah.
But in Nigeria, it will. Like, you can't even like go close, because, and I always say that it's because they know that they can actually be hurt.
Yeah.
As opposed to like here, where like you get taxed if you harm any of like the pigeons, you know?
I guess that's like also kind of a like a bigger metaphor for like what goes on. Because I feel like the homeless problem in Nigeria is way different than the homeless problem over here. Because over here, you have to also account for the fact that these people, I don't know how it is in Nigeria, but in Canada, the homeless people, they receive in like crazy amounts of like probably benefits. They have shelters, they have places they can turn to, they have like kind of social help, which will give them cash, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if like in Nigeria you guys have this kind of, like, I feel like over here, the homeless people are more just, it's more privileged of a mental illness. I would like, I'm not gonna say privileged, but I mean,
yeah, of course,
but they are definitely more privileged.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
I always
I'm saying.
Say, like, a homeless person in Canada is nothing compared to even like, not a home, like a homeless person in Nigeria is a way different world. Because in Canada, you can always get food. There's shelters which will give you
food banks.
There's food banks which will give you like one meal a day or like one square meal a day, right?
Yeah.
But in Nigeria, if you're, I don't know, like I can't really say, but like from my like view from the outside, okay, if you're actually homeless and you're struggling for a meal, most people out there will be kind of are hustling and struggling for a meal. They're not worried about giving you a meal. They have to worry about their family as well. But over here, it's like you're not even really struggling for a meal. Like yesterday, this homeless guy came up to me, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, do you think I could get some money, because I want some food, right? I'm like, yeah, no. I told him, like, yeah, no, I don't have any money on me. But I told him, like, if you want, I can give you like a shepherd's pie. I have food at my house, I can give you some. Like, I have it in like individual containers. And he's like, no, never mind. He's like, I can't eat. He's like, I was at the psych ward, they gave me some injections and like this, and he said my throat, it was a white guy, but he started speaking in like a Jamaican accent. He's like, your throat's sore, my throat can't drink liquid, right? And I'm like, okay, so like, but like they're asking you for food, but they're not spending that money on food. They're spending that money on like whatever drug they need, and like it's a sad reality.
Yeah, because you know if you're going to give it to them, you're only ruining their lives even more.
It's like you're not even ruining their lives, but like you think you're gonna give it to them and they're gonna buy themselves a coffee and some food, but no, they're not. They're so deep into this addiction that their only objective is to just get that next fix. A lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, but like that's kind of like what I've seen, like just some like personal experience. I'm not saying all homeless people are like that, but like a lot of them are not looking for food over here, you know, like a lot of them are just looking to get their next fix.
Yeah, I know you grew up in Poland, right?
No. I grew up in Markham. Both my parents are Polish.
Okay. Yeah, but you just go to like you go back home like to where you're actually from to sometimes.
Sometimes, like I went in my life. I've been to Poland three times.
Yeah.
So I went like once when I was like a baby, like 1 month, 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
I got baptized there. I don't remember that obviously. I was a little young to fucking remember that shit. But then I went another time when I was like 11. I remember going there, visiting with my like grandparents' cottage, like making like little snowmen. So it was the winter. It was a great time.
Yeah.
And recently I went like one more time with my brother, and we had some great times there.
Yeah. So like speaking of childhood, like I know you've like told me personally like some crazy stories, like, but I think there was one, because I feel like this would give you guys like a scope and like kind of like who he is, but like I think my favorite story was the one about like the fire extinguisher and how
the fire extinguisher.
Yeah
Okay, well this is like an interesting story. So basically there was one of my friends, I think his name was like Charlie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like the class clown kind of thing, and he was doing some stupid thing outside. He's just getting everyone's attention, and I remember everyone in the room kind of went to like this one corner of the classroom. And I was like a scrawny kid. I was like really small. So I ended up like getting like pushed. There was like a mob of people. I ended up getting pushed into the corner. And like I was pushing this like little corner, and there was a fire extinguisher right on top of me.
Mm-hmm.
And like one kid bumped this fire extinguisher like with like a broom, and the fire extinguisher came down and smacked me on the head. Like I still have a little scar there, right?
Yeah.
And after, I remember like it was bleeding like crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, shoot, like I don't want to call my parents because like my dad's gonna be pissed. Like he's gonna hear I have to come out of work because what, a fire extinguisher fall on this kid's head? How stupid are you for a fire extinguisher to fall on your head somehow, right? So I'm there. I go to the washroom. I like start like putting like little like tabs of like paper towel on this like scar on my head. And I just remember thinking like, okay, well this is kind of cool because like my hair is dyed red. I always wanted to dye my hair because it was a huge hole. Yeah. I ended up going to the hospital and getting 3 stitches for it. I just remember me thinking like, oh this is nice, I'm gonna have my hair dyed red. It was all red. But yeah, no, and then I called my parents, and my dad was pissed. He was like, fuck, he dragged me out of work, what happened, a fire extinguisher fell on my head? I remember my dad like created like such a fuss. He was going to the school and he was gonna like sue the school for like negligence. Because like how does a fire extinguisher fall on some kid's head?
Yeah.
I guess I was just that one kid that like got like the bad luck enough to like somehow manage to fucking let a fire extinguisher smack him in the head, you know?
Were you like, because I feel like you were like a problem child when you were growing up.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I was a huge problem child when I grew up. I still don't really have a filter, but like back then it was much worse. Like I was always in like the principal's office, like explaining myself or like something I did. Like it's hard to like put like fingers on like specific events, but like I was just always like in there.
What's like your favorite story from high school?
Favorite story from high school? Oh, that's a hard one. I don't know, that's a hard question to ask. Favorite story from high school?
Yeah, because there may be many, but just the ones that come from like to mind.
Favorite story from high school? I don't even know, it's hard to just like pinpoint them like that. Favorite story from high school. I had one time, I mean this isn't really a favorite story, but I just remember I had one time like a couple of my buddies were like fighting over some shit, and I had to like mediate them. Cause like basically one of my friends is like, oh you're a pussy, you're this and that.
Yeah.
And he like said this to like this one other kid, which was like kind of more like he was more of a problem child, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Like, and he would actually like do something stupid. So my friend, he slapped this kid, right?
Yeah.
Because basically this kid was like, you're a pussy, this and that.
Yeah.
He slapped this kid, and like, once he slapped this kid, like everyone in the class heard it. Like there was an echo in the room when this slap came out. And like, I'm pretty sure we slapped him, and we slapped him, and then after, the whole class just like looked at him.
Mm-hmm.
So like it could have been like a normal, like, just a slap and like nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
But like the teacher like noticed, whoa, what was that? Like, that was a loud slap. It was like 10,000 decibel slap, right? Everyone's eardrums almost pop after this slap. And I had to like stay in the classroom because like these are my two like best friends.
Yeah.
It was like I was like put in the middle of this like weird situation.
Okay.
And I had to like basically lawyer myself into like this situation to like make sure that none of these friends like told anything to the teacher that would like incriminate themselves.
Yeah.
So like one of them was like basically they had beef for a while, and one of them told him like, I'm gonna stab you or some shit, like if you like, I'm gonna stab you. And then like he started bringing this up, and like, yo, don't say that, you're gonna get suspended, both of you are gonna get suspended. Because in Canada it's like if anything happens, doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong, both people get suspended.
Yeah.
There's no self-defense in Canada. If you like the Canada, the legal system of Canada says you're allowed to use equal force. So what that means is if somebody comes at you with a knife and he tries to stab you, if you have a knife, you're allowed to try to stab him.
Yeah.
But if somebody comes at you, Marilyn, and he's pulling a knife on you, and let's say hypothetically you have a gun, legally registered, and you shoot this person, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that even counts as self-defense because it's not equal force. Because it's not even equal because technically a gun is overpowering the knife.
Yeah. And I even like, because when, like on this topic, because I think I say this in every episode now, but like I don't go out because I'm so scared of this place, and I should be like I was, because you know in America like people, like girls are allowed to have, like, because like I was looking at videos like what girls use for self-defense on TikTok like one time, and then they had like the tasers, even the bejeweled tasers that
pepper
look
spray,
like and that don't look like that look like car keys, like the tasers, different things like that. In Canada you're not allowed to have a taser except it's the size of a cattle prod.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Only if it's so that everybody can know that it's a, like, it's a taser.
Wow.
You can't,
you're not
have
even allowed to have pepper spray here.
No,
it's
you're
illegal.
Not. Yeah.
Pepper spray is illegal.
And I'm just like, how are women meant to protect themselves when like this is what's going on?
Yeah. And how's like a woman gonna have equal force against a man? You know what I mean? Like if a guy is stronger and he tries to do something.
Yeah,
like you
some girls though actually overpower some boys.
Yeah, no, for sure. You always got those Ronda Rouseys, which will just kick you in the head, you know. But like, most times though, it's just it's not fair.
That's just why we just like, cause, and I hate public transport so much. So I always like, cause for jobs, I either just like get a remote job, get something that's close to me, like maybe in school, or like just like try and find like a job that pays me enough to take an Uber whenever I have to be at work, because I usually do hybrid jobs. So it's just like I avoid meeting anyone outside of my this thing, like at all costs, just because this is such a scary place. And imagine coming from a place like Nigeria where, like, of course, like Nigeria isn't like this thing, but if you have like money, or if your parents are just like, if you're
well
comfortable, you don't get to see nonsense like often. Do you understand? It's like, okay, like your driver is coming to pick you from school, like your driver is taking you here, like driver's like, you can use boat to go somewhere, even though like boat drivers, like they're meant, but like it's like, do you understand? It's like things are mediated to a certain degree, because, but here, Rachel, Poro, you will still be, but low key. I was telling my friend Dana that she should understand this. In Nigeria, let's say you're upper middle class, high class, but here you're like middle, lower, because this isn't your currency. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the people you are associating with in Canada are people who are lower to middle class.
Yeah.
You are not going to ever see the rich people of Canada. The same way you're traveling out of your country to go abroad, it's the same way they're traveling out of their country to go abroad as well. So like, you think you're coming to this prestigious school called Carleton, but like to them they're just like like, you know,
I mean, also like international students, the way they have to pay for school is way different, way different. You have to pay like, what, probably 10 times more than what we
you
have
know,
to pay, right?
Exactly. And like, because I was doing my article for journalism, by the way, like Matthew and I in journalism, like journalism majors, but like I was doing my article on the like Nigerian like students economic turmoil, like how like the exchange rate is going to affect like people drastically, and like how it already has, because like in one like Friday it literally went from 581 to 986, and I'm just like, that's like from, because the school fees is like 30, like I think $40,000 on average, $40,000.
Canadian dollars?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, you're allowed to cuss. I think this is under explicit, but like, yeah. And then for us, I think that's, if I'm, I have like the black market rate, that is about 40 million or 38 million naira.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
And like, cause Brett, I remember Brett, like, he's our professor, like, he was telling us about how, like, cause in my story, he was like, elaborate to the readers what that can buy for you in Nigeria. Cause in Zimbabwe, that, like, you know, there are millions of, like, do you understand?
I don't even understand. Like, how, like, what would that be equal to? Like, if I want to buy
39 million is an entire house.
39 million is one house.
No, like, big house, obviously. A big house, like,
okay, yeah. But, like, let's say I want to buy...
you're building a house. Like,
but what if I want to buy, like, a regular meal? Like, over here it costs 15 bucks, right? Mm-hmm. How much would it cost in Nigeria?
Like, let's say, like, 2K. Like, 2,000. Okay. Yeah. Because 2,000, like, doesn't mean the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, but the millions are obviously, like, do you understand?
The
like,
millions are
500K,
what?
That's expensive. 400K, 300K, depends on where you are and this thing. Like, even the 2K might be expensive for somebody because, like, people are... But the economy is tilting, so there's so many things. Like, I was like, that can buy you a car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can buy you a car, a house. Like, it depends on, like, the situation of, like, the market at the time at which the purchase is made. But that's a lot of fucking money.
Money, yeah. But and the market's always fluctuating as well, right? So, like,
because, like,
how do people, like, selling stuff adjust to that as well? They just have to keep changing prices, like, every day?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, you wake up one day and then they're not saying, bag of rice is down 25K. When anything you want to do, look for how you get the money.
What does that, like, stem from? Is that from, like, corruption, or is that from...
Okay, so, like, when...
Just inflation, or...
In the article, it's because, like, the central bank, I think there was a backlog of Forex, I believe, and so people had to revert to using black market prices, which is why the exchange rate is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And the fluctuations obviously coming from, like, inflation, like, you know, government policies, because we have, like, a new president and all that, so, like... It's a lot.
Was there a civil war or something a while ago? No.
No.
But there's just changing with the policy, and that's why it's...
Like, the policy, like, there's a different person in right now. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's Tinubu in, like, Buhari was, you know, so now, like, he's trying to, like, cut off things, like, you know, that we used to get from other, like, countries and try and keep it at home.
So he wants to kind of stop this outside trade and keep everything,
you know, and
people
then
supporting their own economy.
But like, when you do that, you affect people greatly because we are so used to rely on other people. How do you, it's a lot of things, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. And like, everything kind of gets more expensive because if you're buying stuff, like, let's say out of China, and you're buying this product there for like fucking 10 naira or whatever it is, and then you have to buy it from the person in your country.
Realistically, 10 naira cannot get you jack.
Nothing, yeah.
Like, you can't get, like, I don't think I've ever seen, like, a 5 naira bill, like, because...
So what is the bill size? Like, a million? They're all, like, a million?
No, like, I've not, like...
10,000?
When I say I've not seen a 5 naira bill, like, that...
But how does that even work, though? Like, how do you have, like, cash for that? Like, the figures on the cash must be, like, crazy.
No, it's just 1K.
Just all 1,000?
Like 1,000, there's 1,000, there's 500, there's 20 naira.
Like, 20 naira, you said, right? But that's like what? That's pennies, though.
No. We don't have coins.
No coins at all? Yeah, we don't have coins.
So that's like, it just goes up from there. Like, from, like I'm saying, like, there's 5 and 10, do you understand? But, like, no one uses, like, there's nothing that can buy you. So people just don't even regret that. So, like, I think the lowest things. Like, that's, I think sneakers, like, last time I think it was like 150, maybe 200. Yeah.
200 naira?
Yeah.
For sneakers?
Mm-hmm. But the 200 naira, it may, like, 200 may seem like a lot to you, but, like,
not like Jordans, though. Not like Jordan sneakers.
No. Jordan sneakers. I don't want to, maybe because if you're getting on Instagram, all of the people that sell the shoes on Instagram, maybe you get from like, for like 98K. I feel like people
98K,
like...
98K?
Yeah.
1,000.
When I, like, don't think about it like the 1,000 for
you. I understand, like, the numbers don't work.
If you're there, like, because in Korea, it's the same way they say like that, a million won and 1,000 won, but it's like the same way like Nigeria is as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 1,000 doesn't mean that much to us because of... the way the economy has gone.
Yeah.
Do you get so?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, over here, like, the economy is definitely getting worse and worse every year as well. Like, normally, back in the day, like, it wouldn't cost $15 for a meal.
I don't even know what's happening to the world in general. Like, so what's it, like, where are we going to get to that, like, we're just going to be like, wow, like, this is...
I think I don't even know. I think there's just so many people now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, in a country like Canada, there's so much land.
Yeah.
So it just makes no sense. I guess everyone kind of focuses.
There's so much land, yet people are so homeless.
Yeah, and there's so much, like, housing problems, yeah. Right? Because everyone, I mean, because... In a place like Canada, which is so huge, there's kind of a disadvantage as well.
Yeah.
So if you're in like a country like Nigeria is like probably the size of like Ontario, approximately like that. So you have that. You have the big city Lagos, right?
Yeah.
And then
Lagos.
Did I say it?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's like people kind of surrounding this. They kind of go to that big city for jobs, stuff like that, yeah. Right? But in Canada, it's like so scattered. And we only have, like, really a couple of these huge epicenters of economic growth. We have, like, Toronto, we have, like, Winnipeg, we have, like, Calgary, Edmonton. Yeah. We have, like, these places. But, like, when you go up north, it's all, like, there's nothing really there.
Yeah.
It's, like, we have all this potential for housing, but we don't have this potential for people to have equal economic opportunity.
And employment, even if they decided to go there.
And even if you did, let's say you want to work in Toronto, you have to pay to live in Toronto. Paying to live in Toronto is like at least $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
For a one bedroom.
And like people are even splitting their beds. Yeah. At least so that was like.
Yeah, I've heard this. Like people, like I've heard like people in like Brampton have like there was like a problem because they like police came to one of these houses in Brampton and there was 20 people living in like a five bedroom house.
Whoa.
Because they were just like everywhere. Because they're used to, they come from like places in India where they're used to having like multiple people in these like. Living conditions which are not like similar to Canada, but we can't really have this here because we have like specific building codes and we have like laws that kind of want to make sure like it's dangerous if you have so many people living in one place, right? Because there's so much more opportunity for like catastrophe, right?
Yeah,
I don't know, it's just there's different problems.
20 people in a five bedroom house,
something like that, probably more.
Yeah,
like maybe my dad would tell me, like he never did this, but like when he came to Canada, like people wouldn't rent rooms, they would rent beds.
Yeah.
Like they would rent like, okay, I work night shift, so I'm gonna have the bed from 6 PM to 2 AM when I start my shift, right? Mm-hmm. And then they switch the bed with the guy that works the normal shift. So he sleeps for the 8 hours and they switch again, 8 hours. Right? But I mean, there's always in life there was struggle. Like we can complain about how the world is so terrible right now, but in reality it's always been like this. We've always been struggling.
Yeah.
There's always been homelessness, there's always been hunger, there's always been war.
Yeah.
It's nothing really new. That's kind of the place we're living in, right?
Yeah. And you know, like, cause in that episode that we're listening to, like, if we had gotten just like Jermaine said, like strong men creates like good times
and weak men create weak times, and
basically, and good times create weak men create hard times. So I feel like we're in our hard times because of what, like, basically.
No, I feel like we're in the easy times right now. Like for me, we're in the easy times. I think we're the ones that are creating the hard times for the next generation.
Yeah. To be honest, like,
Like, let's be, like, I don't know, like, as a Canadian, I don't know how, like, you feel from your home country, but I was definitely spoiled my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole life, like, looking objectively, like, around, like, individuals that are surrounding me, I wasn't that spoiled, but looking at myself from a perspective of, like, a worldwide view, I know I was spoiled, because I never had to worry about having a meal, or I never had to worry about having a place to sleep, right? So, I know deep down that I live in this kind of eggshell of the world.
Yeah.
Because I know I will always have my basic necessities fulfilled.
Yeah.
I'll always have like a meal in my stomach. I'll always have a bed, right? So I never really had to struggle. And that's why a lot of people like in my generation and like in my like kind of like cohort or like our friends even like from our classes.
Yeah.
They kind of have all these mental illness problems now because they think once they have one struggle, one assignment is coming up, it's fucking end of the world.
Yeah.
Right? But they don't understand what the real world is like.
Mm-hmm.
The real world is you're fucking getting your head chopped off.
Yeah.
And you're not worried about a fucking law assignment that's due on December the 4th. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these people, they have one like little problem and right away everything around
depression.
Them collapses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depression, anxiety. And then what happens with depression and anxiety?
Yeah.
They go to the doctor and what does the doctor tell them? Take these pills. These pills will help you. And then what happens? They get addicted to these pills. And they get sent to the streets,
cycle.
Right?
Yeah.
And then like it just continues the cycle again. Like the whole like era of like kind of like, I mean, I understand like maybe it's not the best to be like, okay, tough luck, like go fuck yourself type thing.
But sucks to suck.
But that's like how the world is, like in reality, right? Like if you mess up, you mess up, and like that could be your meal, like that could be it, right? Yeah. So people nowadays are definitely more kind of spoiled, and it kind of also leads to these problems we're seeing as well. But that's in my country. I don't know how it is in Nigeria. Nigeria is probably maybe different. Maybe people are more kind of conditioned to the real world, you know?
So like, cause I won't even lie on Mexico. Cause I really like have this pet peeve, like when people actually grew up in the summer, but they're just like, I had to hustle on my life. But like, I will tell you, like, I was spoiled. Like, just because like, my family is good. Do you understand? Like, we're good. Like, I'm able to come here and pay so much because, like, my parents worked hard. That kind of thing. So, I'm not even going to come and lie. But the thing in Nigeria is that that now is when people are actually paying attention to mental health. Nigeria is not a place that you tell somebody you are depressed. I didn't even know that depression was a sickness.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that depression was just what people said when they were really sad.
Sad,
you know, like, because in Nigeria, it's just like, everybody's sad now. Like, so who are you really, like, what makes you different? So before you know it, you will not end up like going back to work, and like that's just how it is. Like, I feel like that's bad and that's good, because you won't in as much as like you will be like, oh, you complain, I hate this, blah blah, you shall still do the work you're meant to do. You know, so
for sure it's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff, the way the world's kind of turning into. But we'll see. I mean, it's always been bad, so it can't it can't get that much worse.
No, please, that's what they say in every single movie. Like, when it gets bad, like, it can't be any worse than this. And then life shows you that, you know. But yeah, I think that's... We had such a fantastic, like, seamless episode. And you have... We can let them tune in for the outro.
Alright.
You just listened to Convos with Marilyn. Thank you so much for giving me your time and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed it, please follow the show and give us your honest ratings. Stay tuned and definitely keep listening for more. Bye for now.